Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. It's a Wednesday, middle of the week. Jim Costa, John Jansen.
Here we go.
Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass. Lions football eve.
I know.
Comes it's early weird. This week.
Yeah, it does. It's like a Saturday.
A little bit.
Yeah, we're doing a Saturday show.
Hey, we're
getting ready for Sunday football, except it was on Thursday night.
We got Lions tickets today. I want to get that out there right away. I want you to win these tickets today. We have a pair for tomorrow's game. Primetime Green Bay Packers. Let's go. You got to be listening. We'll tell you how to win, but it's happening today on the show. We will talk about Michigan football. Speaking of Saturday vibes, Sherrone Moore, good time to evaluate the job he did. Season's over, and they just made the change everybody wanted to see. Firing the offensive coordinator. We can get to that in the 7 o'clock hour today. I think there's a good conversation. You beat Ohio State, you land the big recruit, you got a big offensive coordinator hire to make this offseason. We'll check in with Michigan fans on their overall feelings with the program and Sherrone Moore.
And today's the day that some of those signings can become official.
Yes, which would be great to solidify those for Michigan.
Yeah.
Power Surge, Wednesday staple. We'll get to that bottom of the hour. Mm-hmm. Infilar's update, Pistons and Red Wings both losing last night. And I want to start with the Pistons because we made them a big deal yesterday. We had JB Bickerstaff on. We talked about how this was the biggest game they had played in years, NBA Cup. They were 3-0 in the NBA Cup. Whatever you think of it, the obnoxious courts, is it forced, whatever. It was something that they had bought into, and they were playing well, and they were winning. And you had fans going out to see them at home last night in a big spot. And I put them on the big screen. See, when I... multiple things going, I'll put this tablet up and put like a, you know, other game on the small screen. The big screen last night was the Pistons. So let's start with the Pistons, John. They were down 20 the whole way. They laid as big an egg as they could have in their biggest game in years.
Well, I turned it on early, and it was, they were down 10, but then actually made a comeback and were up by 2 or 3. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, yeah, it took them a little while to get the juices flowing. Maybe they didn't warm up like they should have, all this stuff, right? Trying to make excuses for him. And I literally walked into the kitchen, washed some dishes, came back, and they were down 15.
In a blink.
And that was all she wrote. It just never, they never got any closer. And so it was so disappointing because, and I don't necessarily know that I thought they were going to, you know, play Milwaukee and win. It's not the first time they've lost to him. You know, especially with a player like Giannis.
And they had Lillard in there too.
And, right. Yeah, and I think Milwaukee is one of those teams too that, you know, they started really slow. They're eventually going to be one of the better teams in this conference, which is not hard to do, you know, unless you're playing up against Cleveland. But it just, I mean, they just never felt like they were in it. And they wrote it as far as they could in regards to this NBA Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was just the way that things fell. They won on certain nights to be able to make last night interesting, and then it just wasn't. It was so anticlimactic after having JB on yesterday.
I know.
A little bit of hope that they were playing for something. And what did he say? Hey, you put something on the line for these guys, and the competition is what drives them. Now, you would think every night is a competition because ultimately it's about making the playoffs. I didn't see the fire that he made it felt like they were going to take the floor with.
Yeah, and I think he said it was like a learning experience after the game. I don't think he was particularly proud of what they did either, and nor should he be.
No, he didn't gloss over anything.
No, and pointed out, hey, we had defensive lapses. Like, you could say, hey, Milwaukee was just really hot. They made 15 threes in the first half. They shot 56% from three for the game. Going to be hard to beat anybody that shoots that well. But he didn't say, well, they just shot well. He pointed out, we had blown coverages. We gave them open shooters. We didn't do enough defensively. And that's the one thing that they had done so much better this year than last year. John, I think when we say the Pistons had something to play for, I also think Milwaukee kind of checked in a little bit, right? Hey, we're also playing for this cup. We have Giannis. We have Lillard. We can space the floor if you're going to collapse on our best players. And we're going to punish you and pummel you. And we're not going to give you a chance to breathe. The Pistons were out of that game in the middle of the second quarter, and it was over.
Last I checked in was halftime, other than just a couple of, just check on the score.
Just, hey, are they going to make a run or not? Yeah.
Milwaukee was on pace to score 150 points. Was it 78 at half? Some ridiculous.
They called off the dogs. Yeah. They had 18 points in the fourth quarter. Oh, just kind of like, all right, we're going home.
Can we leave that?
Start the buses.
Do we have to play the fourth?
So it's frustrating because I'm under no delusions that the Pistons are actually any good. Clearly, they had only up to go after last season. But we were looking for spots this year, little things this year, and it felt like they really laid an egg in a spot. You're right. Even if they didn't win the game, it would have been way better if we're talking, hey, fourth quarter, back and forth, Ivy and Cade and Ivy. Hey, Durant put back dunk, big block on the defensive end. None of that. None of that to highlight from last night's Pistons game, an utter waste of everybody's time.
It was, and the disappointing part is what you just said. It wasn't competitive, really, from the start. It just wasn't competitive, and that's all you wanted to see. I was hoping to at least be able to come in here and talk about, oh, Cade had another turnover, and that's what cost him the game, or, you know, who missed the shot with 3 minutes left when they had a chance to stay tight.
Swings the game, yeah.
I mean, I think that moment happened with about 90 seconds into the game. Ah, they missed a shot, and then it was gone.
Brutal. Not that it's any better on the ice. I mean, at least they got the loser point. Wings pick up a point in an overtime loss to the Bruins.
You know what?
Do you not like loser point?
Oh, no. I don't mind it. And I don't mind it really when anybody else says it. But when you say it, there's just an extra sense of smarm in it. The loser point. Coming from you, just, it's just, it hits different.
Amen. I'm with you, Smarmy. I think I'm Smarmier about the one
you
overtime.
Are.
I can't stand the overtime loss point. It just jades the standings. It's the stupidest thing ever. You lost. You're 10-15. You're 10-15 hockey team. You're 9-14 basketball team.
And it feels like we grade the Pistons on a curve, but they are both disappointing. And the Wings bother me. Obviously, I have the investment as a season ticket holder. But also, I'm just a big hockey fan, and I want this so badly for this team.
Well, we're great. We're always going to grade on a curve. We were talking about sports. It's always a curve, right?
Yeah.
And it's always set by expectations. That's what sets the bell curve. And if your expectations are you missed the playoffs by a point, you were tied, you lost because of a tiebreaker, you lost out of the playoffs, that's what sets the top of the bell curve. So now all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, all you got to do is just be a little bit better. And they're not. Whereas the Pistons, like, the bar was so low, there was absolutely no way they couldn't get over it. So the bell curve is set so much lower, and you're looking at it going 9 wins. They didn't get their 9th win until sometime mid-February last year.
Yeah,
I was
February
talking
27th.
To Jack as we were watching it. Like, hey, they didn't get their 9th win until mid-February last year. This is a team that only won 14 games. They're 5 away from their win total last year. And so just the perception and where your expectations are, that's all what sets the curve.
Well, you said something interesting before the show, John. It's that when you are horrific, to just get back to being somewhat competitive, that's the easiest step to take as a franchise.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And so the Pistons are doing that right now. Mm-hmm. So we probably might just be affected by that a little bit versus the Wings. I think the biggest tell on the Red Wings is they are 10-15 win losses. Mm-hmm. Last year, when they got the, what was it, 91 points?
Yeah. Yes.
They were 41-41.
They were legitimately winning games.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were 500 when you take away the overtime loss. And I thought that was actually a tell that they were on a path to making the playoffs this year. And now it's 10-15. Well, that's a step back. That's a 400 win percentage.
When we talk about the Red Wings and we talk about the Pistons, it's going to sound defensive, but it bothers me that we lump them together because the Wings are better than the Pistons. The Pistons are the worst team in our city. That is not a defense of the Red Wings, who have now lost three games in a row. And by the way, back-to-back games where they blew a third period lead. It's like, this is not a defense of the Red Wings. They are, to me, better than the Pistons are. At least they're competitive in some of these spots. Like, Boston's a good hockey team that's on the road. Loser point aside, they were in that hockey game. Husso played well.
New coach has them playing well.
but you know what?
Sorry.
Let's just make that point. I think JB Bickerstaff's a good coach. We had him on yesterday. I'm not just saying that because we had him on. I think he's a good coach. I wanted him hired before they even made it official. What a difference good coaching makes. What if we had a good roster?
Kind of feel like I rolled the hand grenade out there. I pulled the pin.
And what if, just what if there was a JB Bickerstaff equivalent for this team to add on the ice to maybe squeeze out a couple more points?
Oh, the puppet bastard. Just pulling the strings right now.
You know exactly what you're doing. Tom's got ticket text. All right, let me read a couple of these. We'll keep the show going. Texter says, Pistons, big game. Nobody cares. Yeah, that's just kind of the state of things.
I think that's just the NBA.
Yeah. Guys, the Pistons got destroyed by an all-time great player and a fellow Hall of Famer who carried it and treated it like a playoff game. They're going to do that to any inferior team, so not a slight on the Pistons. Another one said the Pistons' little run last night was predicated on excellent defense. They just couldn't sustain it for more than a 5-minute stretch.
Yeah.
And this one says, what the heck is stopping the Iliches from firing the Wings' disastrous coach, SMH? So they're also trying to create that conversation today.
Uh-huh.
All right. We got it out of the system. You guys want to text in about it, we can talk about it, but we got other stuff to do today. We're not going to get hung up on two teams that lost last night. We are going to talk about the college football playoff rankings briefly, get to Heather's news, the power surge, and Lions football at the end of the hour. Is it another injury that could break this team? It's 97.1.
When it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants Bankers are attentive. And I tell you about this every day. Here's what they've done for me. I sat down with them initially and said, what is it that you can do for me? Here's my situation. Here's my family. Here is what's going to be happening in the next 5 to 6 years. And they built a financial plan that fit me perfectly. And it's been great. And we adjusted on the run. When you make the switch to First Merchants, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well. It's where they live and they work. They volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And they'd only continue to pull away, waste of everybody's time. Pistons lose 21 points to the Bucks last night in the biggest game in years for them. Wings lost too. I'm not trying to defend them. Did get the loser point against the Boston Bruins in overtime. Larkin had a chance on a breakaway, doesn't bury it. Maybe we're talking about it a little differently if he scores there. Or if they just don't blow the lead in the third period. You know, there's that whole thing.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, college football playoff rankings last night, John, they have given us only a few things to watch going into conference championship weekend. What stood out to you?
Alabama. I think Ohio State, I was expecting Ohio State to fall a little bit more than they did. You lose to Michigan, and it's, I understand the whole rivalry thing, and one, but when you take a step back, this was a 6-5 Michigan team that went down to Columbus. We don't have to do everything that we talked about earlier in the week, but you know, when you look at other teams that lost and when they lost, dropped down significantly more. Georgia dropped down significantly more when they lost versus where Ohio State fell. Now, I know that there's more data points. There's more that the committee is looking at versus a loss that happens in week 7 or, you know, 8. But I was expecting them to go, what was it, 2 last week? I thought maybe 7 or 8. Thought maybe they'd be behind Tennessee.
And they are 6, which is effectively 8 in the bracket, which gives them the last home site going into the college football playoff this year. They'll get a home game at Columbus against Tennessee if the season ends today. The Alabama thing's interesting because one of the questions last night was, would Bama be ahead of Miami? Miami lost, but they only have 2 losses. Alabama has 3. And the committee said, we think Bama is better than Miami, which I understand. And this is what they explained. Ward Manuel saying it came down to Bama being 3-1 against current top 25 teams. Miami was 0-1. Bama was 6-1 against teams with winning records. Miami was only 4-2. So Miami is out. Bama's not necessarily in, because we have to see what happens in the ACC title game. That's maybe the only big domino. Everything else kind of is self-explanatory. The winner of the Mountain West will get in as the group of 5, right? The
and
winner
probably a bye.
And well,
if it's Boise.
Big 12, winner is in, loser's out. A lot of this is self-explanatory. John, the big question is, if SMU loses the ACC championship, Clemson is automatically in. They're currently out. Yep. They're in, and then does SMU fall behind Bama, or do they keep Bama out of the college football playoff?
I think if in that scenario, I think SMU is in the college football playoffs. They're a 2-bid league, and Alabama is, sorry, you're left out. And the reason I say that is you look at SMU, and okay, they had 1 loss. They have been the most consistent team in the ACC throughout the course of the season. They lost to BYU, who at the time, okay, yeah, it wasn't ranked, but was a contender until the very end in the Big 12. They beat Pitt, and that was Pitt's first loss at that time. Like it's, I just feel like they beat Louisville, who was ranked at the time. I just feel like they are the most consistent, more consistent, if you're just talking about Clemson. I mean, sorry, if you're talking about SMU and Alabama. Alabama lost to Vandy. All right. Vandy is not the typical doormat that they are, but I mean it's Bama, and it's not just Bama, but you put up 3 points on Oklahoma. Are you kidding me?
Yep. Right now would be Bama going to Notre Dame, which is a great TV matchup. They're not supposed to prioritize.
Wait a second,
TV.
You're talking about ratings. Ratings play a factor in who makes the college football playoffs?
I hate it. That would be the only real case, because Bama has 3 losses, and 2 of them are bad losses. Oklahoma and Vandy are bad losses. Don't tell me they're SEC games, therefore they're good losses. They're losses, and they're bad losses for them. SMU would effectively be punished for playing the extra game. I don't think they're going to do it. I can't say definitively because of what you just said, because right. of the ratings, because of the machine that is the Crimson Tide.
And that's the other thing. I don't think you should be penalized for playing in your championship game unless you've already had 3 losses, or you know it is your 3rd loss. Like, you know, okay, the Big 12 is a 1-bid league.
Yeah.
And I don't know that anybody's really going to argue that fact. But, I mean, what is it that makes the world go round?
Money. Dollars and cents, yeah.
Yeah. And so we'll see if the committee is looking at, do we need a little bit more income versus do we want to put the team that has earned it, SMU?
The best outcome is for SMU to just win this week, right?
Yes, that solves most problems.
There's no stress. Everybody knows exactly how the bracket will fall. There will be no drama, and we can just put our 12 teams in and play this thing out.
Play the game.
There you go. Let it play out. Let's get to Heather in the news.
You guys, Kendrick Lamar is coming to Detroit. So he is set to host his biggest Detroit concert yet at Ford Field on June 10th. So the show is part of his just announced Grand National Tour. It will feature R&B singer SZA, and it will take place in 19 stadiums across North America. Tickets go on sale Friday, 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster. Pretty exciting. He's a pretty big deal, right?
Yes, like, sure.
So speaking of Kendrick Lamar, his song Not Like Us is Apple Music's top song of 2024. They just released their whole like year-end charts. So you got all the details there. He's hosting the Super Bowl halftime show. Yeah. So
well, he certainly brings the SZA.
Well, he doesn't, but SZA does. I'm not like super familiar with his music, but Colin has been listening to a lot of Kendrick. Yes.
Really?
And every time it's on, he's like, I'm just trying to keep up with the like
The younger generation.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to stay cool.
Yeah, that's what he says he's doing. But I'm sure I know some of the songs if they're this popular. I must have heard some for sure.
Yes.
More in music news, Beyonce is Billboard's greatest pop star of the 21st century.
That's interesting. Sorry, Tay-Tay.
Yeah, well, they did mention her in this description. So Billboard says you can watch her on stage for half a minute and instantly recognize that she's an all-timer. And they say few artists this period can match her in any of the most critical basic categories of pop stardom. Commercial success, performance abilities, critical acclaim and accolades, industry influence, iconic cultural moments, and absolutely no one can equal her in all of them. And they go on to say, even Taylor Swift, the only artist who really challenged Beyonce for the top spot in any of these rankings, simply hasn't been around for long enough to be able to match the expansiveness of her quarter century of dominance.
Huh. Taylor's been doing this for a little bit, though, right? I mean, it's not like she's new
for a little bit, but
she's not new to the game.
Beyonce has been doing it.
What's the gap? What's the gap?
Maybe it's because Beyonce's older that I feel like she's been around, but you know.
Well, I mean, Taylor's been
age discrimination.
Destiny's Child. You know, like she's been in the industry. I feel like a lot longer.
I would respect it more if they just said Beyonce's better, but to be like, oh, Taylor hasn't done it as long. Like they both have like 2 decades worth of hits.
Yep. But either way, it's Beyonce taking that top spot.
Wow, sounds like you got offended. Must be a big Tay-Tay fan.
I wonder if pop stations, it's like MJ and LeBron, like Taylor and Beyonce. You have to be on a team. Because it does feel like...
Can't you just like both?
You should be able to like
both. I do. Sterling Heights police are searching for suspects wanted in connection with break-ins at multiple businesses across Metro Detroit. On Friday, police caught this group breaking into an Arby's. This was on Van Dyke near 17 Mile, and they weren't able to stop them. The suspects jumped into a black Durango, took off. They attempted to, but things got too dangerous, so they have to call off the chase. But police believe that the suspects are just looking for opportunity. They're looking for places that use cash transactions. At least 25 other places around Metro Detroit have reported similar incidents, including gas stations, fast food restaurants, other restaurants as well. And now several cities are working together to find the same suspects. They're on the loose. No description of the suspects, just that black Durango getting away with things. News yesterday, Eminem's mom, Debbie Nelson, passed away following a battle with lung cancer. So her diagnosis was revealed in September, and reports at that time said she didn't have much time left, and clearly that seemed to be the case. If you're a fan of Eminem, you probably know that his relationship with his mom has been contentious and that he's rapped about it throughout his career. Back in 1999, she sued him for defamation, which then, of course, further strained their relationship or bond that they had. She wrote a book, a memoir in 2007. But in recent years, they have tried to reconcile and you know, make amends. He actually apologized to her in one of his songs. And just a few years ago, she did congratulate him on his Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction. So I think
it got repaired to an extent.
Yeah, to an extent. Yeah. She was 69 years old. Mm.
It's Heather with the news. Coming up next, John Jansen will debut
possible bonus
this
coverage
week
as well.
Well, yeah, okay, so let's do this. You've got your top six teams in the NFL and something else NFL ranking related to do.
A little bonus.
A little bonus next, 97.1. Now, it's not enough for John to hand out his top six teams in the NFL this week. You've got bonus rankings.
Got bonus coverage.
Yes.
Bonus rankings. We'll get to those in just a moment. I don't want to give away what those rankings might be. So let's talk real quick about the top six teams and a quick review of what it was last week. Number one last week, Lions. Two, the Bills. Three, Philly. Four, Kansas City. Five, Baltimore. And six, Minnesota. Some of the teams that we talked about as being just on the outside looking in, the Green Bay Packers. What did they do? Well, let's see if they move up. The Steelers, the Broncos, the Chargers. And I think the Broncos are really interesting, right? With Bo Nix and the what they're doing. Keep an eye on them because tough division. But Raiders 2-10, almost beat the Chiefs, almost got them back in the mix. Not the Raiders, but the Broncos. And the Chargers are right there. But the Chargers are banged up, much like the Lions. Losing J.K. Dobbins put on IR.
Yep.
Lot of division races going on. What's going on with Atlanta? And a team that I'm going to talk about a little bit this week, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All right, Tampa's 6-6. Not going to be in the power surge, but keep an eye on them and how things play out in the NFC South. A division winner, and also the Seattle Seahawks, a team that I do want to mention is on the outside looking in, but 7-5. San Francisco's falling apart. The Rams just can't seem to get any consistency going. And the Cardinals, I mean, could you do us a solid and just finish the game? Knock the Minnesota Vikings back just a little bit. So the teams on the outside looking in this week. Tampa, as I mentioned, Seattle, Denver at 8-5, Washington holding tight at 8-5. It'll be interesting to see what happens in that division because Philly will play Washington. Washington, I don't think they're in contention for winning the division, not with Philly. They're not on the same level. But as we saw with the Raiders and Kansas City, division opponents can be tough. Did we not witness that ourselves with Chicago last week? So number six, back in the list. The Pittsburgh Steelers
can't keep them out.
Can't keep them out anymore. And they've dipped their toe in it a little bit. They took a step back when they lost to the Browns again, a division opponent. They play the Bengals. It's a shootout. The Bengals can't seem to stop anybody. But I was really interested to see that the Bengals were able to put up 38 on the Steelers. A bit of a concern because obviously we want the Steelers to be. Philly when they play. We'll see how they match up. It's going to be curious, but that's not for a couple weeks. And so number five, one step up from last week, the Minnesota Vikings. I can't believe, it's really hard to even think that Heather's people are at five right now, but that's just how tough this division is. And they just keep winning. Why is Kansas City still in the top of this list? They just keep winning. They find a way to beat the Raiders. They find a way to beat Carolina. They just find a way to win, and it's the only reason they're winning is Patrick Mahomes, but when you have the best quarterback in the NFL.
They got a defense, too, in Kansas City.
Yeah, they do.
They grind some of this out.
And that's probably maybe even a better reason why they're winning, because Patrick Mahomes has not been the Patrick Mahomes until the last 2 minutes of almost every game.
Yeah, it's weird. Like he plays like way down below his talent level until the lights are brightest at the very end of the game, and the defense has kept him in it. And there he is, magic again.
The Fighting Mahomes come in at 4. Should have lost again, but did not. So they're 11-1, match the Lions, but Philly beating Baltimore, handily beating Baltimore, I might add, is at 3. The Bills stay at 2, and the Lions hold on to 1, but there's a lot of movement that could happen in the next couple of weeks. We all know, playing the Packers Thursday night football, and the Bills 10 days from then. It's going to be a lot. And that leads me to, I want to get your reaction. It'll lead me to the bonus coverage that I'm about to talk about. Let's talk about the power surge first.
Yeah, just initial reaction to it. Then I am curious where you're going to take us here this week. Steelers are going to play the Eagles in a couple weeks, to your point. Those are two power surge teams. Lions will play the Bills in 2 weeks. Your very top two power surge teams. A lot of this is going to be settled on the field. Right now, I would have the Eagles ahead of the Bills I would have had him ahead of him last week. I think the win over the Ravens would solidify that. Yes, I'd have the Eagles ahead of the Bills. I thought the Eagles' defense against that offense, that was a statement on the road in Baltimore. So I would have the Eagles number two behind only the Lions. I think the two best teams in football are NFC teams.
Okay, well, I think my bonus coverage will kind of give me a little bit of, or at least our listeners, a little bit of reason why I put the Bills ahead of the Eagles.
And then the other thing I would point to is with the Steelers, I'm having a hard time deciding how real they are. You are putting them in.
It's like Minnesota.
Yeah. My question to you is going to be, Russell Wilson, is he good enough for them to win a Super Bowl? He threw for 400 yards this week.
He is certainly had a resurgence. And Mike Tomlin, is it 18 years that he's been head coach there and no losing record?
They haven't won a playoff game since 2016. They're in a very weird spot in that way.
Right. Haven't won a playoff game. And it was kind of like with Tomlin. Are you just exhausted with, hey, they find a way to get into the playoffs every year. They find a way to be above 500, but they can't win when it matters most.
I buy the Steelers. They beat Baltimore.
Right.
I mean, this Baltimore love affair, enough. The Baltimore Ravens will not go to the Super Bowl. Yep. Get it through your heads, everybody. They're overrated. Are they a nice, good team? Yes.
Fourth best in the AFC, but clearly not this elite football team. Yeah.
They don't have the defense to do it. So I actually have the same as you, except I'm with Jim. I have the Eagles too. The Eagles earned their chops and earned their way there the last couple of weeks. They have become a complete football team with the win at LA, I thought, and then going to Baltimore and winning the way they did and holding down that offense. Their offensive line might be better than the Lions.
Could be. And maybe I'm predisposed to hate the Eagles, having played against them for a decade. Yes, and maybe I'm predisposed because they are in contention for that number one seed. They just won't go away. And so I could see my flaws. And here's where I go with the Bills. Josh Allen. He is having a season at this point where the Bills should not be here. They really shouldn't. Losing Stephon Diggs in the offseason, his number one target, losing as many players as they did defensively, through free agency and through just having to cut because of salary cap, they should not be here. And that brings me to the bonus coverage. Let's do a quick ranking of where some of these top-end players, not just teams, but players are in the MVP race.
Okay, John Jansen's MVP race.
Yeah, the MVP power search. And so right now, and I know everybody's going to lose their mind when I say this.
How many are you doing, like a top five?
I've got five.
Okay.
Number five, Derrick Henry.
Really?
Number four, Lamar Jackson. And I know that he was a leader for a long time, and people might lose their minds, but you're on an 8-5 team. And is the resurgence after an 0-2 start, was it Lamar Jackson? Was it Derrick Henry? Is it both? You can have one without the other. We've seen Lamar Jackson without Derrick Henry, but Derrick Henry in Kansas or in Tennessee last year was less than explosive.
Yeah.
And so 0-2, what happens to the Baltimore Ravens? They rip off five games. And I think it was more attributed to Derrick Henry and the 150 yards that he was averaging on the ground versus the performance. But they're still an 8-5 team. So how do you have that combo? And yeah, I know there's a defense, there's a special teams, but I think they're a little bit overrated. Like Tom was just saying, what's the love affair with Baltimore? They're an 8-5 team. And so then I work my way up the list. I've got Saquon Barkley at 3. I know he's right now the best and maybe most impactful player, which you would think make him the MVP, but he's a running back. And I think we all shade a little bit towards, I don't, but I know everybody shades a little bit towards the quarterback. So number one and two, Josh Allen to me is clearly far and away, not a dark horse anymore, the leader in the clubhouse for the MVP. And I've got Jared Goff at number two.
Showdown coming up.
And I think there's a lot of things that Jared Goff could do to put him in the Josh Allen category in the next 2 weeks. What do we know the offense has to do this week against the Green Bay Packers? They're going to have to score often. They may have to score and get points on every single possession because of the way the defense is beat up. What does Josh Allen do? Finds a way to win every single time. Jared Goff, he's also been that found a way to win, even though, you know, I know we got the five interception day, but he's always found a way to win, put his team in position, Minnesota, Houston, eventually finding a way to win. It hasn't been pretty for both throughout the course of the season, but I think when you are the best player on the best team, you've got to be in that race. And I've got Jared Goff at two, Josh Allen at one.
I don't have any issue with the top three. I would order them differently, but I think those are your top three going into the home stretch here. I think Allen would be one. I'd put Saquon two, and I'd put Jared Goff three, and any of them can win it.
Sure. I agree.
That is your power surge with a bonus MVP update. It's 97.1. Let's talk about your teeth. Some of you have skipped going to the dentist, and this is not a lecture, but you need to get in there and need to take care of your teeth, and it doesn't have to be stressful. It doesn't have to be this anxiety, this anxious feeling. With Brightside Dental, there's no judgment. They just want to get you in there, make you feel good, take care of your teeth. Use those dental benefits before the year ends, whether that's exams, cleanings, the basics, or if you're not happy with your smile and you want to do something about it, they've got deals for braces, $1,500 off braces for new patients. Invisalign for as low as $59 a month for 60 months. 1-800-PAINLESS, brightsidedental.com. That's Brightside Dental. No judgment, just care. Wings losing overtime. Pistons lost last night as well. We want to talk football. We got Lions tickets today for tomorrow's game. Be listening. We'll tell you how to win in the next hour. Give you some details on how to win those Lions tickets against the Green Bay Packers. John, I got to play the game. And, well, looking around to see who's going to be playing for the Lions, it's another wave of injury designations. Yesterday, they did not have DJ Reader practicing. No Taylor Decker practicing.
Wait. DJ Reader?
Yeah, DJ Reader. And that one might surprise some people, but Pascal and Onwuzurike, all along the D-line and at the left tackle spot, they're banged up.
Certainly are. And when you look at the depth chart on, you know, various websites, you get a chance to see the red letters. And it's the IR. There are 12 on defense that are on IR currently. And then you start looking, okay, well, now the red letters of Q, questionable. DJ Reader, Josh Pascal, Levi Onwuzurike. And now, what did we talk about at the beginning of the week? Hey, at least you know, DJ Reader gets a game ball. And Aleem McNeil has been dominant inside. At least we got those guys to help Za'Darius Smith. Now, all of a sudden, we find out that DJ Reader might not be available. Now, again, I was wrong last week when I was talking about, you know, some of the guys that I thought might be back and why they're not practicing. DJ Reader is a guy that has had injury issues the past couple of years. He's no spring chicken. This could possibly simply be he's not practicing because we are in week 14. He's an old guy, and we just want to get him to game day. But Hutchinson, Pico, Mekhi Wingo, Kaminsky, Barnes, Anzalone, Rakestraw, Melifonwu, Rodriguez, Maben, Reeves-Maben, all of those guys are on IR. And defensively, you are down to a bare-bones room. Like, that's a quiet room.
You almost want to ask who is playing on the Lions defense, right? So you have your safeties, Kirby Joseph and Brian Branch. Carlton Davis was back at practice yesterday, full participant. That's good. Tarion Arnold, you played on Thanksgiving Day. He's back after missing the game the week before. So your entire secondary should be good to go. And you have Jack Campbell in the middle of your defense. You have Aleem McNeil on the D-line, and you have Za'Darius Smith. You still have some key cogs, but it's quite the exercise when you have to name who is playing instead of who isn't, because it's so many guys that are on the injured list.
Okay, so you could field the starting group. You could field 11. The issue is going to be what happens. Okay, who's going to start instead of DJ Reader? Because you don't have Wingo. You don't have Kaminsky. You don't have Onwuzurike. You don't have Pascal. Broderick Martin starting? All right, so now you have Aleem McNeil, Broderick Martin. Who is backing them up? Miles Adams? Who?
Who's Miles Adams? Did you make that person up?
No, I mean, this is, okay, just I'm simply looking at their roster.
Yeah.
They may have a three-man rotation on the inside. And that's we know Za'Darius Smith, we saw Muhammad play, and like what I saw.
Yeah.
But then on the other side, right, Josh Pascal was your starting end. Pat O'Connor, Jonah Williams. Again, who?
Yeah, I mean, the guys they just added, and practice squad guys, they may have to reduce down, you know, to try to get as many bodies on the D-line as they can if they have more guys outside than inside, but then you're susceptible against the run or you can get worn down. Green Bay, they love giving Jacobs the ball. They love, especially LaFleur in that offense. I know everybody thinks it's throwing the ball around. They want to pound the rock.
And I think that is the key thing, worn down. Because if you start Aleem McNeil and Broderick Martin, there's just not depth to have a rotation in there. Yeah. There just simply isn't. And I mentioned it earlier where if DJ Reader is able to go, is he going to be expected to play more reps? And then all of a sudden you get worn down against the Packers and then maybe you're not able, that 10 days isn't going to be enough. And I could just tell you from my experience, my career, where I got to year 10 and 11 and you just don't heal. Like everybody knows this. It's like, it's general human anatomy, right? You just don't heal at the age of 30. We're not talking old, right? We're talking old in regards to football players.
You're not young at that point.
Right. You're not young in the game.
Yeah.
I think 30 is still young, but you're just not in the game.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. For the athlete. So, at the end of my career, it was, okay, play Sunday. And then Monday, you get your knee drained or whatever, dealing with an issue that you've got to deal with. For me, it was my knees. And then you can't play, you can't practice until at the earliest Thursday. And then you get your knee drained again on Friday so that you can play on Sunday. By the time you get to week 14, 15, it's backed up to, okay, well, I'm going to get my knee drained a couple of times. And then I can possibly go through a walkthrough on Friday. Saturday is travel, and hopefully you're not in a plane too long because that'll create some more swelling, and maybe you're available to go on Sunday. That's where we are right now with some of these veteran guys. It's total speculation. Is that what's going on with Decker, where it's just taking him longer because he's an older player versus, hey, 5-6 years ago, would have been back, no problem.
But he's not even practicing. Like, to your point about getting the train and getting out there and practicing. Like, yesterday was a big day. Yesterday was their normal Friday, right?
Yeah. Today's the Saturday.
Now, we're going to get some designations. I mean, John, I don't expect Taylor Decker to play in this game.
Fortunately, and I mentioned the travel, short week, they played home at Thanksgiving. So there was no travel before the game. Now you have the typical 7 days.
Normal seven now, yeah.
But it's still at home. You don't have to worry about the travel. And then fortunately, you have a 10-day period after this game, and you're also not traveling. Traveling, when you have swollen joints, and nobody wants to hear anybody complain, but anybody who has swollen joints, when you travel, it affects how you feel that day and the following days.
John, you remember last week we had calls from people who were kind of bored?
Yeah.
Anything but boring right now, guys. This has added a drama and an intrigue to a team that's won 10 in a row. Like, ordinarily, we'd be talking about an 11-1 football team hosting a division foe that they've already beaten in a division that they already own. A team that's 11-1, John, we'd be flapping our gums talking about, hey, you're going to kick their ass. I think there is some understandable nervous energy because of these injuries. It's added a drama and an intrigue to this game that, hey, some of you were begging for a week ago. Hey, when are we going to see some drama? Why I haven't had to sweat it out. This might be one they got to sweat out, John, because they are undermanned. They are getting beat up. This is a stretch of 13 games without a bye week. And this was bound to happen, right? If you could have really scripted this, you would have said, well, yeah, right around Thanksgiving is where you get squeezed. You've played a bunch in a row. You get a short week for Thanksgiving, and then you don't have the 10 days to recover. We would have predicted this injury bottleneck happening. Now, we certainly wouldn't have had Anzalone already done for a stretch, right? Not done for the season, but Hutch done for the season. It's everything mounting on top of itself. We want to know your concern level. 248-539-9797. DJ Reader may be the latest that you weren't aware of. Is this the backbreaker? Another defensive line injury, another injury on that side of the ball. Are you worried that the one seed is in jeopardy? We can take some of those phone calls. And by the way, there is a Dan Campbell lookalike contest.
Oh.
That Dan Campbell was asked about. We can play that audio in the 7 o'clock hour. It's 97.1.